How many knows that He is our helper? How do you know that He is your helper? Because He's helped me. Amen. I like that. I know He is because I'm standing here today. Hallelujah. If He hadn't, I wouldn't be here. Praise God. Praise God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and are safe. How many's proved that scripture? You've run to Him and you've stayed safe because you've run to Him. Not because of who you are or how much strength you had, but because you run to Him. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. And as a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. I believe that God is bringing humility to the remnant of God. But before humility gets here, there will be a destruction that'll take the haughty out of us. Come on. Before honor comes is humility. Cheryl alluded to a little bit this morning about submission. How many know you can't submit if you're not humble? Amen. Come on. I remember I was sitting under a pastor for 3.5 years that wouldn't let me pray over the offering. I know what it is to be submitted to the authority because God placed you there. Not because you were in agreement with the authority, but you were brought there so you would have to submit to that authority, because that's in the authority that grates on your nerves could be the haughtiness that's in you.
That's right.
Oh my. Oh my. Woo. Mm. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Be careful. Little tongue, what you say. How many remembers that song in Sunday school? Did we have a clue what we were singing? I don't think so. But we learned a principle. Now, principles. Eric von Gretzinger, our son-in-law, and Susan, and Kip, and Candy. I want to commend you. Bringing your little one to an offering. Do you know what you're doing? You're training them to be generous. And they won't know what it's like to be stingy. Do you know what kind of an inheritance you're transferring to those children? That's one of the reasons that we come, is so those that don't come can see the need for coming. It's not that we can see who's giving and who's not. I could care less. That's between you and God. But as long as we learn the principles, we then can be drawn in to the blessings of the principles. See, the blessing's not going to come without a principle. Come on. It's in this word here. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. Anytime that God shows you something, don't talk it until you've talked to Him about it first. It's folly and it's a shame, because that we see many times has a timing on it. Everything you see has a timing on it. We need to understand the timing of God is literally more valuable than anything else with what you've been given in your hands to use. Because if we use it out of the timing of God, whatever He's put in our hand will not have effectiveness. And He says, I will not send my word forth until it will bring me back what I sent it to accomplish. So if we get out of the timing of God with God's word, for us it will not be effective. But we will be judged on how we have handled that he's put in our hands. And if you get out of timing with that God's given you, you will be judged for being out of timing. Because just to hear the word of God is not enough. We must hear the timing of the word of God. Ecclesiastes says everything has a season. Many messages I preach here I've held in my heart for a while before I've preached them. I'm not to the message yet, so don't start the tape. The heart, let me back up at verse 14. Here is the crux. I want you to circle verse 14, because I'm going to preach on this one a while. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? When you deliver a word out of season, instead of bringing effectiveness, you will be bringing an offense that will ultimately create a wound in the spirit of the individual you're trying to minister to. This thing is critical that we get this. It's critical that we understand this. We cannot even think about going into ministry until we understand this one. This one is where ministry is all wrapped up, and it's what ministry is really all about, is preserving the body of Christ and not wounding the body of Christ. For some months now, God has been dealing with me about what I'm going to preach about today. Hurts and offenses. I think I have preached that already in this pulpit. And that's what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, I've preached that already. And they can go back through some of their notes and reread them. How cocky can that be? Come on. The Lord said, I didn't ask you. I told you. Who has ever had God talk to you that way? Have you been hurt this week? Have you been offended this week? I know you've had opportunity to have been. Every one of us. Almost daily, we find ourselves in a place to be offended or to be hurt. Where do they come from? Where do they start? Hurts and offenses. Where do they end? Hurts and offenses. You see, it doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter when they started. What matters is where they're going to end. If we don't end the hurts, they won't stop at hurts. They become bitternesses. And bitterness, the word said, is rottenness to your bones. In other words, it will eat your life out of you. Bitterness. Our response to offenses determines our future. If we don't handle offenses correctly, we will damn our futures. If you think you can hold an offense or a bitterness and not cover it with forgiveness, you are foolish to think you can carry that. And the word says that a foolish man's end is hell. So if you're holding hurts and offenses, you've just opened the door to hell for your life. You'll live in hell here, and then he'll live in hell there because you couldn't handle it here. Hurts and offenses are destructive to the individual that's holding them more than anybody else. If you think your hurt and your offense with someone else just because you treat them as standoffish and you don't forgive them, you think that's hurting them. No, honey, that's hurting you. That's tearing the very fabric of God out of you. Because he said, according to the way you forgive, that's the same level of forgiveness I will give back to you. Come on. This thing is important. I've seen the body of Christ suffer too many years now because of hurts and offenses. I've seen bodies of Christ that were doing great works let something get inside, and because someone got hurt at someone else, it began to divide. You think you can hold this without division? No, 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 honey. You're not going to do that. You know what happens the very first time you get offended is you start trying to seek out somebody that wants to listen to you. Come on. And you can find somebody that wants to listen to you, because there are others that are hurt too, and they're looking for somebody to listen to them. And all of a sudden we have a conversation going about those that have hurt us, and the first thing you know, we have started chopping at them. And many have taken their tongue and chopped away at the anointed of God because they were offended with them, and not knowing what they're doing is bringing a curse on themselves. Problem. If you think you're the only one, honey, grow up. Every one of us have an opportunity to be hurt. It's how we choose determines if we get hurt. It's how we choose to accept it. No, life's not all fair. It's how you choose to accept it. I make a statement, and most of the time I get a row out of women when I make this statement. I'm going to pull my coat off where I can run hard. Love's a choice. Yeah. Hurt is a choice. You can choose to be hurt, or you can choose not to be. It's up to you. Yeah, there's times it might hit you a little strange or a little different, but you choose to take hurt in or keep it out. It's up to you. It's impossible to find someone that has never been hurt. It's impossible. We've all been hurt. That's the enemy's tactic, is to get us hurt and get our eyes and our focus on our hurt rather than Jesus. That's his tactic. He wants to do that. How do we recognize hurts and offenses? Or recognize hurts and offenses in people? Wouldn't that be interesting? Because you see, if we can recognize them, then we have a responsibility. And before I go here, I'm going to tell you what your responsibility is to this. When you identify hurts in someone else, you are now responsible to pray for that individual. Come on. Number one, lack of concern for others. All caught up in their own bitterness. And every time they get in a conversation, before that conversation is over, they have manipulated that conversation to be able to vent their bitterness at an individual that has hurt them. When you find yourself in that conversation, run for your life, because it's contagious. What you hear many times you cannot get free from. And you have the choice to stand there and listen to that garbage or say, hold it right here. That's my friend. Let's go and the three of us talk and get this thing resolved. Come on. Because the word said that two can put 1,000 to flight. Is that what it says? Oh. Let's get this right. If one can put 1,000 to flight, how many can two? So what's the power of agreement? The power of agreement applies right here. When someone comes to you and they are talking bitterly about someone else, you have the power to put 1,000 in. There's only one standing in front of you. Come on. But if you can get that individual to get in agreement with you, you now have 10,000 power. So let's take this 10,000 power and go to the individual that created the offense, and many times they don't even know they've created it. It's your choice that you've chosen to be offended. Sensitive and touchy. Oh, I'd love to. And I'm telling you, that doesn't mean PMS, women. You can't use that one. When you get sensitive and touchy, there's something going on in your spirit. Men, when you get sensitive and touchy and you don't want to talk to anybody, there's something going on in your spirit. Come on. I'm preaching some good stuff right now. It'll set you free. It'll make you free. Very possessive with just a few friends. We have been placed in a body with the power to reproduce. That's the first order of business after man has been created, is to go reproduce. Come on. We have the power to reproduce, friends as well as children. See, we need to get the principles. I preach principle and precept. Principle is you have the power to reproduce. Friends. The giftings of God. You have that power within you if you don't let that power that's within you get corrupted. Very possessive with just a few friends. Rarely have close friends. Unnatural fear of losing friends. Tend to avoid meeting new people. Show little or no gratitude at all. Now, this one right here nails us. We have this one slip in at times, and we ourselves don't notice this. Most of these we don't, but right here's one. Shows little or no gratitude. Do you think for one moment, are you really this capable that you think you've gotten from birth to where you are by yourself? You couldn't even wipe your own nose when you came into this world. You had to be taught how. Come on. You certainly couldn't feed yourself. Amen. Until you were taught how. You couldn't educate yourself until you were given the provision. So don't tell me I'm educated and I have the ability and I have this good job making thousands and I don't need anybody. How'd you get there? Somebody gave to you to get you there. Where's your gratitude? Come on. Come on. Gratitude is one of the red flags that we need to each of us hold ourselves accountable to. The moment we lose gratitude, we are nursing an offense at something or someone somewhere. It's that simple. And that's a long ways from when you get embittered as a result of holding it. Harsh criticism. Boy, I'll tell you what, on this one I've had to cry before the Lord so much, because a prophet has a real problem with criticism. We see so much, and we have the answer for everything we see. How many qualifies? Let's get honest right now. There's more than one prophet in this room. My hand's on one up. I'm at least honest before you. Until you get honest before yourself, you will never see it. Your criticism will always be a red flag. There's something going on wrong inside of you when you're criticizing someone else. Come on.
Yes.
My. Whew. The Lord brought me all the way to Houstonia to have to deal with this one again. And I thought I had it under the blood. Come on.
Yeah.
I'd like to stay here for just a few minutes. The more we criticize, the more embittered we become. And we are reproducing criticism as we criticize. Because we first start criticizing about the color of the tie. He's flaunting his clothes. I'm going to get you, Andrew. But I'm flaunting a principle. And I will always flaunt a principle. Because if you get the principle, it doesn't matter about the color of your tie. Come on. But criticism will get your focus. And when criticism gets your focus, offense has got you in the trap. Come on. Hold grudges against people for a long time. Do you know a Christian does not have the legal right to hold grudges? And if you're holding grudges, you're taking legal title to a seat in hell. Did you ever think about it that way? Find it hard to forgive. Hurts and offenses locks up our ability to forgive others. And you know who gets the greatest benefit from forgiveness? The forgiver. That one that's forgiving gets freed from. Do we not see that freedom is better than nursemaiding hurts and offenses? Often have stubborn or sulking attitudes. I'm not even going to ask family members how many times you've had a sulking fit lately. Huh? We're nursing hurts when we go to sulking. Husband and wives are prime examples. I use this little example. We get in a fight. Women are more wordy than men. It's proven. I'm not against women. It's proven. When we get in an argument, we've set ourselves up to lose. They got more words than we have. Come on. James, you remember what I'm telling you now, son. But we get in an argument, and they're overcoming us with words. We have one out. Let's hit that door, but get the last word before it closes. See how simple that is? But we lock ourselves all day long in a hurt. Husband and wives do it I'm not going to say every day, but many times, husbands and wives get locked into a day where they have not forgiven each other. And it's a living hell, isn't it? Come on, men. Let's get honest this morning. It's a living hell, isn't it? I don't like it. Don't hold that stuff. Find it hard to forgive, often is stubborn or sulky. They experience mood extremes. Very high one moment and low as a snake's belly the next. This is a result of holding hurts inside of us. Now let's get a little farther on into this. Offend is a Greek word, and in the Greek it's scandalous. It refers to the part of a trap to which the bait is attached. Do you know that when you are hurt and offended, you have been caught in Satan's trap? And you become the bait to catch another. Amen. We need to remember this one. You become the bait to catch another. How do you do that? You start finding those that will listen to you. And you start discussing those inconsistencies that only you see. How foolish. How foolish. When we are in that kind of a conversation, we have become a fool. And the word says a fool's plight is hell. Why would we want to dance around that close to hell? Our tongues get us there. Matthew 24. Let's go there for a few minutes. I'm trying to take my time this morning. Have y'all see that? Junior prayed that I would have fire when I came back. I got some fire. It's inside of me. Linda gave me a word this morning. She said, when you get behind that pulpit, the fire on you is going to be like a skilled surgeon's scaffold. I believe you see the scaffold being moved this morning. What I'm dealing with here is some things that are very sensitive issues in most of our lives. I've been carrying this one for some time because God has been dealing with me about some things that's on down the road for this church. One of the areas that the enemy has hit in the past and will try to hit in the future is this area of hurts and offenses. You will not go into this season of your life unprepared, because God is leading the leadership to make you aware of what's coming at you. You are being equipped to kill it before it starts. Come on. That's why God puts leadership in leadership position. You see, Cheryl so adequately said it, all we see as we follow are the next step, or even the step that we're in. But how many knows what it would be like to be up here driving and having to see what's coming so that we can continue to preserve growth? Because God has given us a mandate, hasn't he, Ron? We're to grow this place. Come on. It's not just mine and Ron's responsibility. It's all of ours. But he's also, with that, he's given us the ability to see in the future as to what's coming for you guys and for us guys. We're not in this alone. We're all in it together. Matthew 24, verse 10. Then shall many be offended. When's then? How about right now? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. Verse 9. We need to understand verse 9 before we can even go into understanding hurts and offenses, and how hurts and offenses get in the way. Every one of us have a mandate of God, and our mandate is to be afflicted for the kingdom of God. And some of that affliction of the kingdom of God is going to come to you through hurts and offenses. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended. When? When they are offered up as a sacrifice for the kingdom of God. If you think you can be progressively walking and getting more from God and not get into a place of offense, go read the Bible. It's telling you, you're going to have that opportunity. It's going to come to you. As we are getting into the kingdom mentality and begin to try to work the principles of God, those that have been chosen of God are going to be offended. So if you've been offended, raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because that makes me know that I'm a chosen one for the kingdom's sake. How I deal with this is up to me, but I've been chosen because I've been caught there. The word said, with every temptation, he does make a way of escape. So even though you might find yourself there, there is still hope for you. And then shall they be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Here is the whole premise of what hurts and offenses are about. The enemy wants to get us in such a mindset and such a state of mind that all we can see is us. And if all we can see is us, then we will very easily try, as we will, not as he wills, but as we will, betray one another. Do you realize when you go behind my back or Linda's back or Ron's or Marinelle's or anybody else in here because you have been offended, you are betraying that individual. If you go behind Laura or Bruce, you're betraying them. The word said, if you have an ought against your brother, or think your brother has an ought against you, before you lay your head on a pillow, go to them and make it right. If you don't go to them and make it right, and that means to free yourself, you will seek someone else out, because there's a compulsion inside of you to get it out of you. And you think, well, all I need to do is just talk about it to someone else. What you have just done is multiplied what's inside of you. The word is very plain. The second step of hurts and offenses takes you into a place of betrayal. And if you look at betrayal far enough, you're going to see it takes you into lying, because you can't tell the same thing twice the same way. We just had a camp meeting, be a voice and not an echo. Do you realize unless you are speaking the oracles of God, you cannot speak the fullness of truth? You can't tell the same story twice the same way. I can't preach the same message twice the same way. So every time you tell it, you distort it. We need to get this right, folks. And what about that one that you told it to? If you distorted it, they can't tell the truth because they only heard a distortion. Come on. And each time it passes into another ear and out another lip, it's distorted even more. Now then, as we retell it more times, look at what happens. That's why churches dissolve, is because it gets so far away from the truth that nobody can even sort the truth out anymore. And that's the journey we go down, so we become betrayers of one another. And the word is so plain here. Betray one another and then shall hate one another. Step three. If you are holding a hurt, you're going to go into bitterness. And bitterness is going to go into hate. It's really simple. You say, I don't hate anybody. I just don't have any use for them. You're a liar. You're a liar if you make that statement. If you once had a relationship and you no longer have a relationship, you're a liar if you make that statement. Because what created your relationship to begin with is still there. It's just been cloaked over by your prideful, bitter hate. Come on, I'm preaching some stuff this morning. And I know it may be hard to sit there and take it, but I'm telling you, it's right here in your Bible. Read it. Right here it is. You go from one betrayal, now you go into hating one another. Then, verse 11 says, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Do you know that every individual in this house has the ability to be a prophet? We just don't all prophesy the word of God. But we can prophesy out of us what's inside of us. And it says many will become false prophets and deceive many. Don't go talk to somebody about your hurts and think that it's going to stop there. Because if you can't hold it, how do you expect them to hold it? Come on. If you're talking something you can't hold, you're going to have so much passion in what you're telling, they can't hold it either. And because iniquity shall abound, here is a fourth principle to bitterness. Many people live and die with disease because they could not turn loose of bitterness. Iniquity, study it out, means diseased. If you don't get rid of your bitterness, if you don't allow yourself to deal with hurts and offenses, you open yourself up for some kind of a terminal disease to attach itself to you, and you have no legal right to send it on its way until you repent. That's why many can come to prayer line after prayer line after prayer line and not be delivered, is because that has them has legal right to be there. Come on, I'm preaching some stuff this morning. God has been digging me up with some stuff lately. After today, it's off my shoulders. I've wrestled this message as long as I'm going to wrestle it. Come on. It's up to you now. Many false prophets shall rise. You have the power to produce. Remember, that's in Genesis. And with your hurts, you can produce false prophets. And those false prophets are going to go around spreading iniquity. Because you've released it. Shall abound in the love of many. And here's the reason for it all. The love of many shall wax cold. That's the reason the enemy is trying to catch you in the trap of hurts and offenses, so that your love will wax cold. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. Why would he say that? Because it's very definite for the hot where they're headed. It's very definite for the cold where they're headed. If you're cold and your love has grown cold, you're headed for a hot hell. Cold love will get you in a hot hell. It won't get you in heaven. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. There is a hope in all of this. There is a hope in all this. We have the endurance of God inside of us. Jesus said, if you love me, there's that love thing again. If you love me, me and my Father will come and abide in you. Come on. If the Father is abiding in us, then we have this word right here. Verse 13. We have the enduring power of God because his love is that strong. Do you have a doubt that his love is that strong? He's loved us through all we've been. And if he can love us through what we've been through, he can sure hold what we've got ahead of us. Come on. You see, we've lost our gratitude way back here for the love of God when we've grown cold. You see, you can't even be here unless God allowed you to be. You can't work good enough to be here. You can't work good enough to go there. You can't. So the moment we lose gratitude, we have lost sight of where we're headed and why we're going to be there. Only because Jesus Christ shed his blood. That's the only way you're going to get in. The moment we lose sight of the power of God's love, we lose our ability to continue to stay thankful. You realize gratitude is thankfulness? That he took me from where I was, could not feed myself, and he put a silver spoon in my mouth. Whoo, praise God. I hadn't missed a meal. Can't you tell by looking? That's the provision of God. That's the love of God. That's the abiding power of God. God wants to abide in us. My Lord. When we go into this one, we see. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, verse 14. This gospel, what gospel? What I've been preaching to you this morning. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus, in my Bible, all that I've read you this morning has been red letter. Does that mean Jesus said this? Now, if Jesus said it, Gerdon Richardson is not saying it. Come on. Jesus is saying it. And if he's saying it, you better be receiving it, because your life depends on it. And the gospel of the kingdom. How many is beginning to understand a little more about kingdom mentality and kingdom living than you ever have in your life? Most of us have been preached denomination as though we didn't know what kingdom was. But as of late, the last few years, we've been hearing more on kingdom principles and kingdom teaching, because everything Jesus taught was kingdom. Right here, even in this, he's saying the gospel of the kingdom. So part of the kingdom of God is the ability to take hurts and offenses and turn them into victories. And it's your choice. It's your choice what you do with it. The gospel shall be preached, and then the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoke of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Does anybody this morning have a better understanding of what hurts and offenses will do for you than you did when you came in here? I hope you do, because hurts will take you to hell if you don't deal with them. Stand to your feet.